And they will come up with a lot of reasons for it. Now, I'm going to say, perhaps to the surprise of some listeners, that I agree with this statement about youth. I think that starting in the 70s, and I know it's still happening today, there are far too many teenagers, 12, 13, 14-year-old people, who are walking on their way to high school while smoking chronic marijuana. And there's no way that a person, especially at that age and at that state of development, is going to sit down in a class and be receptive to learning anything while smoking pot. So, yes, there is abuse going on. There is unquestionably abuse about marijuana. But we have to temper that with the fact that adults have the right to use it. And the abuse is, well, there isn't abuse. It's not abuse when you just use it, you know. So we have to temper this. We have to realize that life is not black and white. It's all shades of gray. And now to continue with that, here is some news program. So it's from Grandpa Ashcroft or something like that. I found this on the internet. Thought you might enjoy it. This is about drugs.
Ashcroft. If Ashcroft was president or dictator, who'd be in their target, just mashing up the entire store.
Next, by the way, I think these guys are pretty well toasted themselves.
Ashcroft said the sale of drug paraphernalia has exploded on the internet, making it easier for teenagers and young adults to buy it. The items are often disguised as such things as lipstick cases to escape detection and are marked under code names and symbols.
Man, just legalize this shit. You'd save yourself a whole lot of
money. Call it a water pipe. But we know it has a marijuana bong.
Lipstick, yeah, right.
Nah! Probably took them a while to figure out the lipstick case thing. Yeah. We'll be confiscating all these bongs and marijuana pipes. You can continue selling lipstick legally.
Mr. Ashcroft, I found that these are really a container for hiding marijuana. Nah, you narc! We're going to get away with it. No.
Yeah, that's Cannabis Corner here on Kill Radio. And this is something very interesting by an artist called Herbert. Herbert. And this is called The Audience.
And shifting ground, you're my guess. I'm your no. You are really wrong, I know. So move with me, move with me. With me, remove, with me, remove. So move with me, move with me. With me, remove, with me, remove. You're my death, you're my up. You're soon, I'll never give up. You're my good luck at my worst.
You're my love.
You're my pain.
You see green when I see gray.
But you're my bad.
And I'm your good.
There are words misunderstood. So move with me.
You're my hand.
I'm your three-man, one-man band.
You're my feet.
I'm your toes.
Where you come from, no one knows.
I'm your breath.
You're my tongue.
I feel old when you look young.
You're my vision.
I'm your sense.
And you are butter.
I am lens.
I am nervous.
You are calm.
I see lines upon your palm.
I am close.
We are near.
Though the ending is not clear.
We are separate.
We are one.
The division has begun.
I'm your future.
But you're my past.
Music will not last.
So move with me.
With me,
remove. With me, remove.
So move with me.
Move with me.
With me, remove.
With me, remove.
us to grow the... That's Herbert and the audience. This is Kill Radio and the Impressionistic News Hour for the 24th of February, 2004.
I love giving contrary points of view. That's what I love about Kill Radio. We can have these contrary points of view. Chris, not that many people are listening. 73 or 26 or 2 or something. But nonetheless, we have a contrary point of view, and it's our right and our obligation to get in your face about it. I've really been kind of embarrassed by the way the media, as usual, kisses the ass of the Pope. Now, the Pope is probably a nice guy somewhere in his evil heart, and Catholics can tend to be nice people overall if they realize that they are just another cult worshiper like Christians and Buddhists. However, the thing that gets me the most is this stuff about Mother Teresa. Mother Teresa is on the fast track to be made into a saint. And saints, well, they don't even exist. But I'm really tired of this Mother Teresa stuff. So, with all this beatification that's been going on, I think it's interesting. I found from on a website here, Sanang Edamark Maruku. I don't speak the language very well. Sanal Edamaruku made a statement about Mother Teresa and her beatification. India, especially Calcutta, is seen as the main beneficiary of Mother Teresa's legendary good work for the poor that made her the most famous Catholic of our times, a Nobel Peace Prize winner and a living saint. Evaluating what she has actually done here in India, I think India has no reason to be grateful to her. Mother Teresa has given a bad name to Calcutta, painting the beautiful, interesting, lively, and culturally rich Indian metropolis in the colors of dirt, misery, hopelessness, and death. Styled into the big gutter, it became the famous backdrop for her very special charitable work. Her order is only one among more than 200 charitable organizations which try to help the slum dwellers of Calcutta to build a better future. It is locally not very visible or active, but tall claims like the absolutely baseless story of her slum school for 5,000 children have brought enormous international publicity to her institutions and enormous donations. Mother Teresa has collected many, many millions, some say billions of dollars in the name of India's paupers, and many, many, many more in the name of paupers and the other gutters of the world. Where did all this money go? It is surely not used to improve the lot of those for whom it was meant. The nuns would hand out some bowls of soup to them and offer shelter and care to some of the sick and suffering. The richest order in the world is not very generous, as it wants to teach them the charm of poverty. The suffering of the poor is something very beautiful, and the world is being very much helped by the nobility of this example of misery and suffering, said Mother Teresa, exact quote. Do we have to be grateful for this lecture of an eccentric billionaire? The legend of her homes for the dying has moved the world to tears. Reality, however, is scandalous. In the overcrowded and primitive little homes, many patients have had to share a bed with others, though there are many suffering from tuberculosis, AIDS, and other highly infectious diseases. Hygiene is no concern. The patients are treated with good words and insufficient, sometimes outdated, medicines, applied with old needles, washed in lukewarm water. One can hear the screams of people having maggots tweezered from their open wounds without pain relief. On principle, strong painkillers are even in hard cases not given. According to Mother Teresa's bizarre philosophy, it is the most beautiful gift for a person that he can participate in the sufferings of Christ. Once she tried to comfort a screaming sufferer, "You are suffering, that means Jesus is kissing you." The man got furious and screamed back, "Then tell your Jesus he should stop kissing me." Do we have to be grateful to the victim, to be the victims of this very special kind of charity? Do we have to tolerate that ignorant and helpless people are used as extras in the inhumane and cruel religious drama of the beauty of suffering in Christ? When Mother Teresa received the Nobel Peace Prize, she used the opportunity of her worldwide telecast in Oslo to declare abortion the greatest evil in the world and to launch a fiery call against population control. Her charitable work, she admitted, was only part of her big fight against abortion and population control. This fundamentalist position is a slap in the face of India and other third world countries where population control is one of the main keys for development and progress and social transformation. Do we have to be grateful to Mother Teresa for leading this worldwide propagandist fight against us with the money she collected in our name? Mother Teresa did not serve the poor in Calcutta. She served the rich in the West. She helped them to overcome their bad conscience by taking billions of dollars from them, all of which, I guess, just goes to the Catholic Church. Some of her donors, and to pedophile priests, some of her donors were dictators and criminals who tried to whitewash their dirty vests. Mother Teresa revered them for a price. Most of her supporters, however, were honest people with good intentions and a warm heart who fall for the illusion that the saint of the gutter was there to wipe away all tears and end all misery and undo all injustice in the world. Those in love with an illusion often refuse to see reality. Ain't that true, Clara? So that's what India actually thought of Mother Teresa. And let's keep that in mind as the decrepit, Parkinson's-riddled Pope tries to make her into some kind of a saint so that people will worship her for decades to come. Miracles with Mother Teresa. This woman hurt more people than she helped. I could tell you stories about the things that she did in the United States. Up in the Bronx, she wanted the city to give her a building. You know, again, she and her order were not supposed to pay for everything. Everybody was supposed to donate to them and give them lots of money, but the money was never used to help the poor people. She wanted the Bronx, or the city of New York, to give her a building in the Bronx to use as a hospital. However, the city said that the building is not equipped properly for handicapped people. There are no, it's not wheelchair friendly or anything. Mother Teresa said that that didn't matter, and she didn't want any improvements to be done to the building. The city was volunteering to pay to put in elevators and ramps and all this. She said, no, the poor people have to be able to suffer. They have to crawl through the hallways. If they can't reach it with their wheelchairs, then they have to get out of their wheelchairs and crawl up the steps. And when New York said, well, that's inhumane, we can't allow you to do that, she left New York in a huff and told the press that New York would not help her build a hospital. This woman was a scumbag. So if you think that she was a good woman and she did good deeds for the world, you're screwed up in the head. You don't get it. So let's keep this in mind as we hear more good things about that stupid, ugly bitch, Mother Teresa. Yeah, strong words, huh? This is Bennett being scandalous for the Kill Radio News.
The major record labels say that downloading their music from the internet is stealing. But according to these people, making a mixtape for your friend is stealing too. So is making a tape of a radio show. When a rock band plays an AC/DC cover at a bar that doesn't pay ASCAP, that's stealing. When an MC rhymes over a sampled beat, that's stealing.
Happy birthday to you.
Have you ever sung happy birthday to your friend at a restaurant? Watch out, happy birthday is copyrighted. So if you're singing in a public place, you'd better be paying royalties, or you'll be stealing music. Does all this stuff about stealing music sound absurd? Would you rather have a world where our music culture wasn't the intellectual property of five corporations? Then stop giving them your money. Don't pay for major label music, and make sure your friends and family don't either.
How about trying this future on for size?
Even better, burn them CDs of the music they like, so they won't even want to buy it.
Spectators, but not participants.
If we pull the plug on the major labels, music gets better.
Spectators, but not participants.
You can't legislate people's behavior.
To find out more about what you can do, check out downhillbattle.org.
All right. All right, then. May I have a C for Christ? Brady, darling.
Well, I used to smoke like a chimney. My lungs were black as night. Excuse me. And I used to drink like a fish in the water. Come home stumbling in the morning light. And there were times, I suppose, I put stuff up my nose. And I stuck needles into my vein. Barbiturates and acid would keep me pretty placid. And I'd top it off with Mary Jane.
Tammy Faye Starlight and God's a Hard Habit to Break from On My Knees with Tammy Faye. I guess we have time for...
Now it's time for
another,
Kill Radio's...
Another...
Cannabis Corner. I don't know if you were aware of it, but a forest fire started on August 8th last year, 2002. And ravaged 56,000 acres in the Pines area outside San Diego. This forest fire was started by a DEA helicopter that was flying around looking for marijuana fields. And it clipped a power line, which started the sparks that let the fire begin. It was the most expensive marijuana-related accident in the history of California, perhaps in the history of the country. This stupid DEA, these DEA boneheads started a fire that destroyed 37 homes, 116 other buildings, 161 vehicles. It caused $10 million in damage. Hundreds of residents had to be evacuated, and 24 firefighters were injured. The fire lasted for 2 weeks, starting on July 29th of last summer. There you go. This is what the DEA is doing by declaring war on drugs. That's war on you and me, folks, even if we don't use drugs. Because you can bet that most of those people evacuated and had their cars and houses destroyed were not growing marijuana.
Time sure flies when you're talking a lot. That's the end, maybe a touch early, of the Kill Radio News Hour. The Impressionistic News Hour. Several old pieces. Next week, it looks like I'm going to have a representative of the Revolutionary Communist Party in the studio with me to talk about the latest platforms of the RCP. And I have to admit, I'm pretty skeptical about the RCP. So don't let it surprise you that I will probably raise some good questions. I hope. Anyway, I hope. So this has been the Impressionistic News Hour on Kill Radio for Thursday, the 24th of February, 2005. Don't forget to check in with the Chill Room on Saturday nights at midnight. And Mushu Kitty will be up in just a few minutes. Thanks for listening. Don't forget to kill your friends.